Hey, good morning. Good morning. We're welcoming Amp Blend, Roan County, Bearden, and our online community. We're welcoming them as well. Hey, new series this week called The New Normal. The New Normal. And some of you are like, I'm totally done with that phrase. Why are you using that phrase? I'm done with that phrase. I don't want to hear about no new normal. I have had enough of the new normal. That phrase just means something's changed. It just means that something in our life is different now than it was before. We use it to describe often the loss of something in kind of in a tragic way. Maybe the loss of someone we love, or the loss of a career, the loss of our health that has changed how we have to interact, maybe for the rest of our lives here on earth. Maybe it's something that's happened in our home. Maybe our family's gone through a bankruptcy, or a couple's gone through a divorce, and now there's a whole new normal for everybody involved. But it's also used to describe some really positive events that happen in life, not just the tragic, but also the awesome. You know, we grow up, and hopefully we leave our parents' home. And that's a whole new normal. It's a whole new world. We step out for the first time. We either step into a career or we go to college. And for a whole new normal, we get to be on our own. And that's amazing. And then maybe we meet somebody and we decide to get married, and there's a whole new normal. For many of us, I didn't see that normal coming. Yeah, this can be great. A lot of the time, it's great. And then you're like, hey, let's add kids to this mess. Let's do that. That sounds great. Let's do that. And you add kids, and you're like, you have to continually remind yourself. They're babies, and they're crying all the time. You're like, I wanted kids. I did. I wanted this, right? That's a whole new normal, right? It's a whole new normal. Move to a new job, move to a new home, move to a new neighborhood, new relationships. It requires that we adjust and we become part of a whole new normal. What this series is all about is the new normal in light of what we celebrated last weekend. It's the new normal in light of Jesus's resurrection. A group of people, disciples, followers of Jesus, they had a whole new world that they were facing. They had lived life with Jesus. And now that he's gone, now what? Now, what does life look like? He's no longer with us in person. He's now with us through his spirit in us. And that created a whole new normal. And that's the new normal that this series is all about. What does it look like for us to be a people who live our lives in light of the resurrection of Jesus? And along the way, we're also going to talk about some things that are not only important to us personally, that are also really important to us as a church, as Two Rivers Church. We're going to talk about some things that really we're praying as a leadership team here at Two Rivers Church would impact us significantly. In the fall of 2019, seems forever ago, doesn't it? In the fall of 2019, we got together and we had been praying that God would give us some clarity around the vision that he had for us, maybe over the next 10 years. And it was really cool. It was a great experience. And we believe that he did that. And we began to put together, what does this look like for us to roll it out to Two Rivers Church to talk about where's God leading us over the next 10 years? And so in the spring of 2020, we had put it all together and we were ready to roll it out. And it was getting ready to roll out literally the weekend that something hit called a pandemic, and bam, it was off. It's like, we're not rolling anything new out right now. And what we really believe that God was calling us to was to be a people who were connected to Jesus and connected to each other. And so for a year, we focused on being a people who are connected to Jesus and connected to each other from a distance. But now we're turning a page. And during that time, we just didn't take a year off. We began to work on some things that were a really important part of seeing that vision become reality. And that is really defining who we are as a church, as a group of people following Jesus together. Who are we? What? Just giving clarity to that, giving language to that. And so we did that. We we got together and we're like, okay, what does it look like for us to define some core values? Now, if I use the term core values, many of you in the business world, you're totally familiar with core values. You know exactly what they are. And at your company, you're like, hey, Dave, that didn't work. That didn't take. We tried that core values thing. It didn't make any difference. But others of you, you have core values in your workplace and they totally work. They transformed your business. They transformed your organization. You do things different now. You're like Southwest Airlines. You've empowered employees that at the lowest level of your organization, they get to do all kinds of stuff because they understand the core values of the organization overall. So core values can also be very personal. Can also be something that you as an individual, you can say, hey, as a follower of Jesus, or maybe in the career you're in, maybe you're a teacher, maybe you're a plumber, maybe you're an electrician, you can have core values that really drive your business. Maybe you own an auto repair shop and you're like, hey, as a core value, honesty is at the core of who we are, because I want people to trust that when I say your car needs, that they can actually believe that my car really needs that. Because if they believe that, they're going to go tell somebody else. And they're going to tell somebody else, hey, go to that shop because they can be trusted. Core values shape us. This is a number of years now. I came in contact with an organization that they had a core value, and it really impacted me. One of their core values was that they would live on the solution side. And so their core value was solution side living. And that made a difference at that time in my life. I can still do this, okay? I'm not saying that I'm not over this, but I can point out some problems. I'm like many of you. I can see what's wrong. I can see what's not working, and it can frustrate me. And I had to go, wait a minute. I can either always point out what's wrong, or I can point to solutions. I can live on the solution side. And I implement that in my life. And hopefully the people that I would work with would say, hey, they saw a change. I hope that's true. So what we did during this time is we defined some core values, and there's a book called Traction it's a business book by a guy by the name of Gino Wickman, and he writes that core values are a small set of vital and timeless principles for your company. These core values define your culture and who you truly are as a people. So for our purposes, when we're talking core values, here's what we're talking about: vital and timeless principles that define who we are. Timeless principles that define who we are. So as we go through this, as we go through this series, as we talk about it today and in the coming weeks, it's not like you should go, oh, that's something new. Our prayer is that you would say, yes, that's true. That's who we are. Or that's who we are, but we aspire to be more of. Nothing should catch you by surprise. Nothing's new, but it's just clarity around this is who we believe God has called us to be. And even more than that, what we discovered along the way, we believe these are the core values of a follower of Jesus. We believe these define a disciple. That word disciple just means a student of. It means more than that. It means that you would become like the one you're following. We believe these define not just us as a church, but they define a follower of Christ. So the four core values that we have that define Two Rivers Church, hopefully, and a follower of Christ are this: that we would be a people who are gospel-centered, word-dependent, spirit-empowered, and relationally connected. Relationally connected to who? That we'd be relationally connected to Jesus and each other. That's a follower of Christ. What we're talking about is being a people who are following Jesus forever together. The new normal that we're going to talk about in this series that is described in Acts, it's the life after the resurrection of Jesus. And we're going to see what happened in the book of Acts. And we're praying that it'll impact what happens in our lives in a very personal way. Now, as we go out throughout this series, we're going to use a term. And the term that we're going to use, very familiar term, it's the church. The church. And every time we use this term, this is really important, you would understand when we say the church, it is people. Never a building, never a place, not a worship experience. It's not a place that I go. It's a group of people that I'm a part of, because that's actually what the church is in the New Testament. It's not referring to buildings. Now, buildings aren't bad. Buildings are necessary. They used buildings in the New Testament. But if you wanted to implement a discipline in your life that would help you really understand this, when you're referring to going to a church building, you would say the church building. I actually do this. It's probably annoying to the people around me, but I'm like, where are you going? My wife, where are you going? I'm going out to the church building. Because a church building is not a church. It's always people. And so when we say the church, we're talking about people. When we say the church, we're talking about people. Join me, okay? When we say the church, we're talking about people. Always, always people. And so we are the church, referred to as Two Rivers Church, that's currently celebrating in worship in three different locations and online. That's who we are. But we're part of the church, which is all believers all for all time, right? There's a bigger story at play than the story of Two Rivers Church. And so, yeah, these are our core values, but hopefully we would say these are the core values that we see the New Testament display as somebody who's a follower of Christ. And so as we walk through today, that's a lot of introduction. Not every week I'll have that kind of introduction. That's a lot of introduction to set up where we're headed. Here's what we want to walk away with this weekend. The book of Acts, right, is history that can shape my story. Acts is history. It's the only historical narrative in the New Testament. Much of the Old Testament is made up of historical narrative as a type of literary genre. The New Testament really doesn't have it. The Gospels are history, but it's a different kind of history. The book of Acts is the story of the launch of the church. It's the story of the mission of God going forth, and we're just going to look at the first five verses in this introduction to the book of Acts. So you can join me in Acts chapter 1, where it says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Okay. The book of Acts, for our purposes, we're going to say is written by Luke. That's kind of a debated thing, but it's pretty much settled right now that most people would say that this book was written by Luke. And there's another book that was written by Luke. It's called Luke. Okay. It's the Gospel of Luke. Luke, and that's what he's referring to here when he says in the first book, O Theophilus. And Theophilus is the common denominator of who the books are written to. The first book, Luke said in the opening to that book, he says, "Hey, Theophilus, I want you to," this is Dave Groom's summary, "I want you to know that you know that what you believe is true. I want you to know that you know. I want you to be certain the things that you've been taught about Jesus are true." And so he begins to write an orderly account of the life and ministry of Jesus in order that what? That Theophilus would know that he knows the things that he's been taught are true. And then he writes a second book. So he begins by telling Theophilus that at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. And at the end of the Gospel of Luke, he does what? He says, hey, at the end of the book, he says, hey, the disciples, they understood that the scriptures had to be fulfilled, that Jesus was going to be crucified, he was going to be raised, and then he was going to ascend to the Father, that this message had to be proclaimed to all people, that that's what they were to set about to do. And now he begins the second book with that story. As the disciples entered into a whole new normal, they were entering into technically life without Jesus. It was now life without the physical Jesus. It was now life empowered by the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. What does it look like as the mission of God goes forth? And the first thing that Luke really wants us to know is that Jesus is alive. OK, Okay? Jesus is alive. That you would understand that he was alive, that after he had suffered, he appeared to live, and he was teaching them along the way, Jesus is alive. That's more than just a cliche phrase that Tim Bubar talked about a few weeks ago. It's more than just a greeting that we would give to each other on Easter weekend, right? This is more than that. Jesus is alive makes a difference. But that was a question I asked in my mind. Why does it really matter? Why does it really matter that Luke would say, hey, Jesus is alive? And the first thing is, if Jesus was alive then, he's still alive now. He wanted him to know, like, just because Jesus was taken up to heaven, that just because he's in the presence of the Father, and he doesn't really describe what that's like, but just because that happened, that doesn't mean that Jesus still isn't active, that Jesus still isn't at work. Jesus is alive. And Paul, as he writes a letter to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he really wanted that church to know that Jesus is alive, because if there's not a resurrected Jesus, if that never happened, he says those who've given their life to following Jesus are to be pitied more than anybody because they believed a lie. If Jesus isn't still alive, you've believed in futility. And so if Jesus is alive, then what? Then I have a relationship with a living person. I have a relationship with a living person. If I have new life in Christ, I have a relationship with a living person. And for many of you, you're like, yeah, duh, Dave, I know that. For me, that truth was transformative. This past week, we have a group of people that's getting together to talk theology on our staff. I know that sounds thrilling to many of you. Some of them are forced to be there. But what we're getting together talking about is what the Evangelical Free Church of America, what they believe as part of their belief statement, because we are part of a denomination, the Evangelical Free Church of America. Some of you found that out for the first time. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. All that to say, in that statement, we're going through each of these 10 statements and talking about it and what they mean. And one of the things that we talked about this week in that group is how we tend to view Jesus in light of one of two things. We tend to go in one of two directions. Either we identify greater with Jesus because of his divinity or his godlikeness and the fact that Jesus is 100% God. We identify more with that. Or we identify more with the humanity of Jesus. That Jesus is 100% human. And you're like, wait a minute, 100% plus 100%, that's 200%. How can you be 200% of anything? I don't know. It's just what the scriptures reveal. That Jesus is 100% God and 100% human. He is just the truth, right? It's just what is. And you can do more study on that on your own. Some of you, I just left you confused. I'm sorry. Didn't do that on purpose. All that to say, for us, we often go, okay, I view Jesus as totally other because he's God, or we relate to the humanity because he was fully human. And it was interesting in that group. It was really cool. The first person said, well, I really identify with the humanity of Jesus. And then somebody's like, oh, I really identify with the divinity of Jesus. And it was kind of got heated there for a second. It was really cool. I'm like, yeah, let's fight it out. Let's argue. This is awesome. This is great, right? Where have you guys been for the past 3 months? Come alive. This is awesome. Because in my life, that truth was transformative. I'm not saying that as hyperbole. I'm not just saying that that changed my life. It literally changed my life. I had new life in Christ, but Jesus was, I identified more with, like, he's the Son of God, he's God in the flesh, that he's the sacrifice for my sin. Yes, but I didn't really buy into the idea that Jesus is a living person to be followed. And when that sunk in, I was like, that matters. What I do today matters. And I began to care more about what the living person Jesus thought about me and my life than I did any other person. Why? Because he's a real living person that I can follow by the Spirit of Christ in me. You see, Jesus is at work in and through me by the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, okay? He's alive, yes, and he's at work in and through me. And the book that we call the Acts of the Apostles, Okay? It could also be called this, the acts of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit working in the apostles. But that's really long, so we're just going to call it Acts. It really is. And some people will go, it's the acts of the Spirit, but it really is. And we're going to see it as we go. It's the acts of Jesus through the power of the Spirit at work in the apostles. That's the story that we're going to read. And the other thing that we see is that story is far greater than me. If Jesus is alive, I'm part of something far greater than me. I'm a team guy. I like team sports, okay? If you're like an individual sport person, I'm sorry, okay? This illustration isn't for you, but I love being part of a team. I love that. I'm a team person. Growing up playing sports, I never got to be part of any kind of like championship team. I never got to win a state tournament. I could only ever, imagine that. But people who've been part of that, they can go, yeah, I was part of something that was far greater than I ever could have done on my own. And it builds a sense of family. It builds a sense of unity. It builds a sense of camaraderie. In fact, you can take some of the best athletes in the world and you can put them together on one team. But if they don't play as a team, they'll be terrible. Because being part of a team means I'm part of something greater than me. And that's our story as part of a church. It means that I'm part of something greater than me. The collective whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It's far greater than the individuals. And that's the story that we're going to see in Acts. The book that we call Acts is actually our faith legacy. As we read this story, it's history, okay? It's history. It really happened. But it's a history that can change our story if we let it through the power of the Spirit. If we're going, okay, wait a minute, this story isn't just a story. It's our legacy. It's a part of our faith story. And what we saw in the Old Testament as part of our faith story was God set apart a people, the nation of Israel, and he set them apart for a purpose. And that purpose was from the very beginning, back in Genesis chapter 12, that God said, hey, you're going to be a blessing to who? To all people groups. To all people groups. You're going to be a blessing to all people. There's another word. When we say the church, we're talking about people. And every time that we use the word nation in the book of Acts, we're going to be talking about people. Never geopolitical borders. What we're talking about is different people groups, different ethnicities, different people from different places. We're not going to be talking about political nations. We're talking about people groups. And we're going to talk about that throughout this book. God's goodness was the message of the children of Israel. And that's still our message today. And it's not just for me. It's for we and even for more than we. Pastor and author Matt Chandler writes this in a book called Creature of the Word. He says, truly, God's plan of redemption is about more than me and you and our neighbor down the street. It's about men and women from every tribe, tongue, and nation on earth becoming part of his covenant community. That's the mission of God, that we would be part of that story. And throughout this book, we'll also see that the gospel is the center of the message and the mission. When we use that term, the gospel, it just means good news. You can write that in your notes, gospel, good news. You may have to continually remind yourself of that truth, that it's just talking about the good news. And what's the good news? Jesus said that the good news is that the kingdom of God is here. In Luke chapter 4, when he was being questioned about going on to the next place, he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. The good news of the kingdom of God. As we work our way through Acts, this is the framework, okay? The message and mission, it's what? It's the good news of the kingdom of God. What's the good news of the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. That the rule and reign of God isn't just like God is out there somewhere. The message isn't of Jesus, isn't just God's in some ethereal place in the heavenly places far away. Jesus' message is the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is on earth. And Jesus says, I'm part of that. That's what I came to proclaim, that God isn't looking to suck you off the planet. He's looking to come to you. It's the good news of Jesus's birth, right? Of his life, of his burial, of his resurrection, is that God came to us. God isn't looking to suck us off earth to go to him. That's not our story. Jesus's story is he's God with us. Now, that's the good news of the kingdom of God, is that it's here. And so the story of Acts is the story of the mission of God. It's the story of the mission of God. From beginning to end, it's the story of the mission of God after Jesus' resurrection and the mission of God going forth, and it's part of our story today. If this doesn't happen in the book of Acts, we're not assembled together and we're not celebrating Jesus. We're not doing it. It's because of faithful men and women that we're going to read about in this story, in this historical narrative, who gave their lives for the good news that saved us, that changed our life. Now, when we began, we talked about a core value, and one of the core values we talked about is being gospel-centered. And that's the one we're going to give a little bit more definition to this week. And what we're going to see throughout the book of Acts is that a follower of Jesus is gospel-centered. Why? Because Jesus was gospel-centered. Jesus says his life was all about the good news of the kingdom of God. And so if that's what Jesus is about, that's what Jesus's followers are supposed to be about. That's just the way it works. The word disciple, we're going to use that word. I know that that's a strange word. That doesn't mean like the special kind of Christian. That word just means you are actually a Christian. You're not a Christian in name only, you're actually a follower of Christ. That word disciple, it's not a crazy or foreign word. It's just become like, oh, those are the people that are actually growing. No, that's every person who's given their life to being a follower of Christ. They are a disciple. Now, we see that there were 12 of them identified, but there were a lot more, as we'll see next week. There was a lot of disciples, a lot of followers of Jesus. And our story as followers is that we would be like the one we're following. And Jesus was all about the gospel. And that means that as followers of Jesus, that's the call in our life as well. But as a church, right, as Two Rivers Church, it's not enough that just we would be about that personally. Because then what happens? We're just all individually doing our thing. We have to be about that individually as followers of Jesus, but there's also something to us collectively saying, hey, as part of the body that we're a part of, as being part of Two Rivers Church, we're also bought into the idea that we're supposed to be gospel-centered. And so there's a longer description, okay? If you need to go look at it, you can find it on the website, but there's a longer, just a summary. And each one of these values we could write books on, okay? There's a lot that's underneath it, but we've described it this way. When we talk about being gospel-centered, what we're saying is this, that ultimately the gospel is all about Jesus. Jesus gives new life and transforms lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. This truth is at the center of all we do. And so the gospel is, we could say it really easy, right? The gospel is Jesus saves. And here's the thing. Most people stop there. At least that's the sign in the sports stadium where it stops. Jesus saves. That's it. That's all you get. But that's only half of the story. That's only half of the gospel. The gospel isn't just Jesus saves. That's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is what? Jesus transforms. The gospel is the good news of the kingdom of God, that Jesus came to earth to save and transform a people, that they would join him in what he's looking to do in this world, that he would save and transform. As a church, we believe that God's at work. We say this all the time. Why? Because we believe God's at work. That Jesus is at work, not just saving people, but also transforming people through his empowering presence. That's the work that Jesus is doing and inviting us to be a part of. And so, You might be asking, how's this apply to me? What's this have to do with me? It has everything to do with you. If you're a follower of Christ, even if you're not part of Two Rivers Church, hey, maybe you're just listening in online, you're just listening in. This isn't just a Two Rivers Church value. This is a New Testament follower of Jesus value, that we would be a people that are all about the gospel. That would be our story. That we would be a people who are focused on the same things that Jesus is focused on. Because Jesus has invited us into a life of following that we talked about last week. The invitation is, follow me. Unfortunately, we've reduced it to pray a prayer and you're good. Nowhere in the Bible, okay? You're not going to find that anywhere in the Bible. What we do find is the invitation, come and follow me. Follow me, follow me, follow me. And that's an interactive kind of following. Through the power of Jesus himself, empowering your life through his presence, through the Spirit of God. And so how does that happen? It happens by us taking steps. In order to follow someone, what do you have to do? You actually have to take a step. You have to step in that direction. And so it's not just enough that we would be like, oh, I'm kind of heading the same trajectory. I'll end up in the same place eventually. No, it's like, what's the step? What's the practical step that Jesus is inviting me to take today, tomorrow, the next day, this week, the next month, the next year, so that when we get to the end of the year, you would look back and go, well, I may not be as far along the journey as I think I should be, but I'm not where I was. I'm further in the path of following Jesus. Why? Because I engaged and I took steps. It's the reason we do next steps. These aren't just like, if you feel like it, do it. No, these are like practical things that we attempt to give us collectively as a church so that we could be following Jesus personally together. That we could be following Jesus in the same trajectory, that we could be following Jesus together. And so there, it's an opportunity for groups to come together, to talk about the same kind of things, to apply the same kind of things. But there's also an opportunity for us individually. And so if you're not in a group, the group discussion material is actually available every week to you anyway. On the bottom of the handout that you can find at 2rc.tv/welcome handout, it's there somewhere, I'm sure of it. You can go to the bottom of that, and there's this live it out section, and you can engage. You can take a next step in that. There's also a next step that you could take on the bottom there that we could take together, and that is to read the book of Acts this week, Acts chapter 1. It's not too much for you to read the Acts chapter 1. Or listen, if you're not a reader, listen to Acts chapter 1. And ask this question, God, what do you want to teach me? God, what do you want me to see? God, what do you want me to pay attention to along the way? And take some notes that God would teach you. And then guess what? As we come together, as we join together as the church, next weekend we can go, okay, wow, God's at work. God's leading. God's leading every step of the way. And wow, he showed me this in a very personal kind of way this week. He showed me this, and then it got reinforced on the weekend. Or it's just something that he has for you. The second thing that we can do is engage by asking questions. And you could ask these questions. You could ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind, what defines my following? What defines your following, Jesus? Or you could ask, how does the good news shape my story? And that question, I'm praying that it would be a positive response, that the Spirit would build you up, and it wouldn't just be what you're not doing, but what you are doing. So often we focus on what's not rather than what is. And in this case, I believe that the Spirit of God will bring to mind, I'm praying that he brings to mind how the good news has shaped your story. And then he'd call you to more of that. Keep doing that. You're not who you were. Jesus is transforming me. Jesus is at work in me. Wow. The good news of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God has changed me. And allow the Spirit of God to encourage you. So often we think the Spirit of God is just there to chastise us. And yeah, when we're off the path, that is part of the story. But it's also when we're on the path, he says, good job. Allow the Spirit of God to say to you, good job. Keep going. Keep following. What we're going to do now, though, is we're going to worship. In light of the truth that Jesus is alive, we have so much to give praise about. The fact that we're following a living Savior through the power of His Spirit in us is a reason just to jump to our feet and praise Him, right? It's a reason just to jump up and praise Him. Yeah. So that's what we're going to do now. I'm going to pray, and then in every venue online, I ask you to do is we're going to stand and worship because we, among all people, have a reason to praise our God. God, we're grateful that we have a reason to praise you, that you're a God who is able to do far more than we could ever imagine. And so we declare your praise right now in Jesus' name.